And welcome to the Anti Football Podcast. My name is Chris. As always, I am joined by Harry. And it wasn't a good time to delay getting the last episode out. It was almost immediately out of date. And we've got quite a bit of stuff to get through, haven't we, Harry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's really not been great. I mean, what an absolute mad week this has been, essentially, for football. You know, obviously, the elephant in the room that we are talking about currently is the talk of the Super League, which isn't dead yet, according to Florentino Perez. It's just that he's the only club in it. We'll just start off at the beginning. What were your initial thoughts when you heard about this Super League that was going to happen, Harry?
Came out of the blue. Instant rejection of it. You know, I knew it would essentially kill European football, to which you disagreed.
I kind of did. I think, you know, because they've been on about a Super League for years and years and years. They've been on about a Super League since before the Premier League was formed. That's how long ago it's been. How long they've been on about it. And I still don't think it'll ever happen. I didn't think it'd kill, or at the very least, I didn't think it'd kill English football. Because, as was shown by, you know, the brilliant fan responses to it, fans still really cared about their clubs. And, like, you know, Leeds fans wouldn't stop watching Leeds because of the Super League, or, you know, Burnley fans wouldn't stop watching Burnley because of the Super League. And I think especially if the rumours, which obviously we don't know now and we'll probably never know, the rumours were that DAZN had got exclusive rights to the Super League. Yeah. So I can't see Sky or BT or Amazon pulling out, you know, just because the big six aren't there, if they couldn't get that Super League.
They certainly wouldn't be paying what they would have for, like, this season.
No.
I mean, they would get the majority share, you know?
Well, you'd assume, in an ideal world, that in a league without the big six, it'd be more evenly spread out. Because, you know, the big six take the majority of the TV money. So I think in some cases, we'd probably see clubs getting more money from broadcasting. Yeah.
I guess, but...
Because even if the broadcasting rights, you know, even if the money in that is halved, like, the big six take about 90% of it anyway, so...
I don't think they take that much.
Well, you know what I mean, though, like, it is...
They take the brunt of it, yeah.
A big majority, yeah. You know, there is a severe gulf between the top six and everyone else when it comes to stuff like, you know, broadcasting revenue and stuff like that.
But I was thinking, like, would Craven Cottage be filled without the likes of the top six, besides maybe the final game where, you know, it could be a potential, you know, like a title win or a, you know, Champions League, Europa League, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you've seen much changes. Like, I can't, you know, I'm only speaking for myself, but, you know, I wouldn't stop going to Burnley if this Super League, you know, was a thing. And I think that would be the same for a lot of people.
But I go to Saints games to watch Chelsea. I go to Saints games to watch, you know, Man United and, you know, whatever. So it would kill off more casual fans, I guess, would be. Mm-hmm. You're a hardcore fan because you've got, like, season ticket. You're a diehard Burnley fan, whereas, you know, I guess it would kill off the fandom that are casuals, and that's where most of the money comes from, I'd assume.
Well, I wouldn't say most of the money. I mean, you know, if you, I will say, you know, if you look at the differences in attendance between, you know, if you look at Burnley versus Man United against, you know, Burnley versus West Brom. I mean, obviously, fans weren't in the stadiums at this point, but you get the idea. Mm-hmm. There is probably a, you know, probably a difference of about 1,000. So I wouldn't say it's the majority, no.
Big stadiums like St. James Park, Goodison Park. Well, I was more thinking, like, you know, what about those clubs like Everton that are planning on building a new ground? They've got massive wages. You can't offload those players.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, well, there are some players that they could offload easily.
They would be stuck with the likes of, you know, Sigurdsson, Walcott. Well, they got Walcott out on loan. I don't know whether, you know, Saints would be paying for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like a case of what you see with, you know, clubs that get relegated from the Premier League, especially ones that are on high wages. You know, over the course of a couple of seasons, the players do move on, whether it's through, you know, selling them, whether it's contract signings, whether it's, you know, taking wage cuts. Wage bills do, you know, go down. I think that's sort of what we would end up seeing.
It would have to be drastic, though.
Well, I mean, we're saying this. I mean, we've no idea what, you know, the hypothetical broadcasting rights would be.
Why, they'd be nowhere like they are now. I mean, Champions League would certainly lose a lot of its illustriousness.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
As would the Europa League. I mean, and then the Conference League would be even worse. You know, FA Cup loses its shine. League Cup will no one care about anyway.
Well, yeah, it sort of does.
What, the FA Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, does it really? But yeah, I guess it sort of does, because, you know, a lot of it is about, you know, the magic of the Cup, you know, seeing, you know, a team like Marine coming up against a team like Spurs. But I think that is something as well that would be increased as well, is a lot of these top six teams would go and support, you know, their local team. Like, you'd see a surge in Salford fans, or FC United fans, or...
That's true.
I don't know, like, some, like, London clubs, whatever's near. Or they'd start up their own clubs, you know, Phoenix clubs. Like, the whole reason that FC United of Manchester was formed was because of the Glazers' takeover. Yeah, so
it's hard to get anywhere near the, you know, sort of game level, is it?
No, of course not. But they still, they probably have one of the biggest followings in non-league football, FC United.
Do they? Okay.
Hmm. Ah, yeah.
But a team like Man United, a lot of their fans aren't actually from Manchester. No. Like, would you really go all that way to see FC United from Manchester?
Well, I mean, you know, there was already, you know, we've seen it once before, but people are willing to go there. So, you know, if they end up going into the Super League, I'm sure attendances would just increase more. You know, the people who, you know, didn't want to go just because the Glazers took over would probably go, you know, because of the Super League.
But wouldn't they support their actual local team?
Well, yeah, I'm sure they would. But, you know, certain United fans, their local team would be FC United.
Yeah.
You know, and people who are from
cities sort of club that's not affiliated to with United?
What's that?
What's Man City's nearest club that's not affiliated with Man United?
Wigan? I have absolutely no idea. I would not be able to tell you.
Would it be Wigan, you reckon?
I don't know. But when I said like local team, I was thinking more like, you know, non-league teams.
Oh, right, okay.
But, and yeah, I mean, the one thing that we have got to address as well is, you know, what we think, you know, because there has to be some sort of punishment. Yeah, I think we're in agreement with that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we tried something new. We sent out on Twitter, at AntiFootballPod, for anyone who is interested. We sent out some feelers. We asked people to send in the responses. We got, you know, a brilliant response. I wasn't expecting what we got. So we've got a few clips for you to play here. First one we've got here is from at UTT Rob on Twitter. Rob's a Huddersfield fan, and he's got his opinions on the Super League and what should happen to it. God, I'm not good at introducing clips, am I?
Hi, this is Rob, UTT Rob on Twitter, from the Unbooking the Territory podcast. I'm not really precious about what the punishment the Super Six get, whether it be a points deduction, banning them from Europe, taking away the shirt sponsorship deals and making them play in the T-shirts saying Champions League earn it. But they need to be punished, and they need to be punished hard. And the only thing these chairmen are going to understand is if it hits them in the wallet. So even a small points deduction isn't going to make much of a difference. They need something that's actually going to affect the bottom line.
Right, that was Rob that you've just heard saying that, you know, the owners, you know, you need to hit them where it hurts, in the wallets. And I personally, you know, completely agree with Rob. I think that, you know, especially if you do it this season, next season it's potentially different, but especially if you do it this season, a points deduction is not going to do anything, because, you know, you look at Arsenal aren't going to qualify for Europe. Man City are going to win the league. You know, so a points deduction isn't really going to do anything. And like you said, you know, you've got to do something that will actually affect the owners, not, you know, some pathetic little fine or a points deduction, although there could be things that you add on top.
You get money equivalent to what where you finish in the league, so it would hit their wallets. I mean, if a club didn't qualify for Europe, that would certainly hit their wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Would City win the title if, you know, you deducted points? I mean, the most points deducted in English football history was 30 points for Luton Town. And they got relegated.
Mm.
So let's say you take 30 points off the top six. That essentially rules out the title for Man City and the rest.
Yeah, but they're not going to take 30 points off of them, are they? I think,
to be honest, I don't think they're going to do anything.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, you know, I can't see that much happening. I think that, you know, I just think that, you know, if they do something, it'll just be like some sort of fine or something. You know, I can't see these owners being forced out. I can't see, you know.
Well, with the supposed new government legislation, that they may be forced out.
Yeah, but do you honestly think that Boris Johnson is going to care now that the Super League's over? The only reason that Boris Johnson cared was because if the Super League happened, it would really affect the country's economy, because a lot of it is based off of football.
Mm.
You know, I think that, you know, if fans were in stadiums, I think we'd be seeing a lot more pressure, but obviously, you know, fans can't go at the moment. And they're fucking sly, aren't they, the little bastards? You know, doing it whilst there's no fans in ground. They know what they're doing. But yeah, it's just, you know. I just can't see. They should be removed. I think the, you know, the German model, the 50 plus one rule, whilst it's not perfect, whilst, you know, there are definitely issues, whilst there are definitely flaws with it, I think it's definitely a lot better than the current system that we have, and it's something that should definitely be strongly considered to be introduced.
Yes. Well, I mean, with the fallout of the ESL, what do you think of the new supposed Swiss Champions League model?
Well, if I've got it right, and, you know, feel free to interrupt me if I'm waffling here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's almost as bad.
Agreed.
Like, you've got places being given on merit. Like, that's exactly what the Super League was doing. I think I've seen something that's not going to happen. Which, you know, obviously, you hope that's the case.
Do you not put these things to a vote to the respective UEFA nations? Quite a big, drastic change.
Yeah, but, like, you know,
Champions League increased.
Yeah, but you got to think about England, for example. You know, that would get put passed through England, because who has all the power in English football? The top six. Or not the top six, the big six.
Yeah, but
the fucking pretty six.
Someone like Kosovo is not going to vote for that, you know. Nor is, you know, Macedonia, because sometimes, you know, those teams do qualify in the Champions League.
Yeah, but as what I thought it was, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was just they affected qualifications from individual leagues, not, you know, there'll be six places from England. I thought it was just that, you know, say West Ham finished fourth and Man United finished sixth, Man United would get the Champions League spot.
Yes.
Yeah, so how does that affect Kosovo?
Well, it would be a lot harder for them to have any chance to qualify out of the group, wouldn't it? If they're
going to
Barca, Man U, and then, I don't know, Napoli.
Well, not necessarily, because, you know, it'd be easier to beat a team that finishes 10th than a team that finishes 4th.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, if you asked me, would I rather come up against Leicester or Arsenal at this point in time, I'd definitely say Arsenal.
I think we should have an extra Champions League spot, but it should not be given to someone on merit. Someone is, like, for example, who's fifth right now?
West Ham.
Yeah, so they would get Champions League, you know, when they wouldn't normally have.
Oh.
And then you'd have Everton, Europa League. Leeds will be in the probably Conference League.
Oh.
That's more money for them coming in.
Yeah. I don't know. I think having four teams is like the sort of sweet spot. I think, especially because if you do increase it to five, that's a quarter of the league you're giving Champions League spaces. And then, you know.
No, I'm on about increasing it to 36 still, but allocating some extra spots to the smaller leagues and one extra spot to the highest UEFA coefficients, like Spain, Italy, Germany.
What, so we'd get to five Champions League spots?
Yes, but the smaller countries also get, you know, an extra couple spots.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, from the English point of view, you know, I wouldn't want a quarter of the teams in the league to get Champions League football. I think four's like the sweet spot.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it does sort of, at that point, it does defy the word Champions League.
Yeah, exactly, because originally it was just given to the league winners.
Yes. You know?
And then you're giving top five. And then what, for Europa League, you know, you think 6th, 7th and 8th get it. and then 9th and 10th get the Europa Conference League, and then top half just gets Europe. Like,
honestly, I would just have the Champions League for just the champions, Europeans, the Cup Winners' Cup back, and then Europa League.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, this is something I'd really love to see, but I mean, it would never happen because the big clubs would never allow it. Could you imagine if the Champions League turned into an FA Cup format? You know? Because no one really gives a fuck about the group stages. Everyone just cares about the Champions League knockout rounds. But could you imagine if you get like El Clasico round one, and then you get like fucking Ludogorex getting to the semi finals or something?
No, getting easy draw. I like the group stages. I like seeing Man United finish third and to fucking Cluj or something. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but like, the real meat and potatoes at Champions League comes in the knockout rounds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just something that I'd like to see personally. We've got another clip here. This one's from @DanGriffin21 on Twitter. He's a Liverpool fan, so he's actually a fan of one of these top six clubs. So, this is what he's got to say on the European Super League.
My name's Dan, I'm 32 and I'm a Liverpool fan, which means I've never until recently known any great league success, but the best nights of my fandom generally have come on European nights. 2001, the UEFA Cup win, 2005 and 2019, the Champions League wins, umpteen come-from-behind victories. And to see my club turn its back on a history in European competition that stretches way beyond my lifetime is absolutely sickening. And to for them to want to give up the chance to add to that history is quite frankly disgusting. The proposed European Super League, at time of recording, it's 2 minutes past eight on the 20th of April, and it seems to be collapsing after 48 hours after the proposal. But it was absolutely disgusting. It goes against everything in my mind that Liverpool stands for. It's a club that, very much like Liverpool, the city, is all about community and family, or at least it was. The owners of all the Super League clubs have completely let the fans, the players, the managers, the staff, have let everybody down, all in the name of an elitist, exclusive cash grab. The slogan of Liverpool is "You'll never walk alone," and amongst the fans, "You'll never walk alone." The players, "You'll never walk alone." The manager, "Will never walk alone." But the owners then went and took that and said, "You'll never walk alone, but only fans of these certain clubs can walk with us." And that is just abhorrent to me. And I really hope that Liverpool aren't the last club to desert the sinking ship that is the European Super League.
Right, thank you very much to Dan for sending that in. Obviously, we now know that Liverpool weren't the last club to leave the Super League, which, it's... I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's like, fucking... I don't know. It's still not great, but it's better than nothing, I guess.
Can we talk about the apology, please?
What's that?
Can we talk about the shitty apology?
Yes, I'll let you talk about the shitty apology, because, as a top six fan, I'm sure you feel a bit more of a resonance with that, but I've just found it funny.
Well, yeah, to be fair, we hadn't apologised yet, so... but I found his apology very insincere, very scripted. It was not, it didn't come from the heart. It just felt like somebody wrote it for him. you know, it wasn't passionate at all, and I don't think he's truly realised what, you know, he's actually tried to do. He's only been, you know, sort of backed out of it because of, you know, PR, I guess.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think that's something that you find in all the apologies that have been said. You know, it's, you know, they'll say, oh, we're sorry we didn't listen to the fans, you know, we'll learn to consult them on these sort of decisions next time. No, you're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught. Like, if, you know, if you genuinely, you know, were like that, this, you know, this isn't the first time that they've talked about the fucking Super League, right? And you should have known the backlash from then that you wouldn't have got. It's just completely insincere. You can see from reflection in his glasses, he's reading off a script. Like,
or an auto cue, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it just looks like somewhat where he's been rushed into it, he's plonked himself down 5 minutes before he needs to get on a plane, and he's just filmed this apology in his fucking parka, like, and he's just so insincere. And the thing is, some Liverpool fans are actually, like, think it's genuine. Like, I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, at least he's actually personally come out and apologised, you know, unlike the others, what I've just had pre-prepared statements, you know, as if him actually reading the statement makes it any more sincere. Like,
he took responsibility, but that was 2 days after everyone else took the shit end of the stick.
Well, yeah, but he can't do anything else. He can't say, no, it wasn't my fault. Can he?
That's true. Why take 2 days?
Because they weren't fucking sorry. Because they genuinely wanted it. Yeah. And they didn't give a fuck about fan backlash. You know, if fans were in stadiums, it would have lasted a lot shorter than 2 days as well, I can say that. And it just shows the fucking... They're such cowards. All of them. They're such fucking cowards. I mean... And it's just weird. I mean, Abramovich was in the fucking KGB and he's scared of a lot of fucking Chelsea fans. Like, honestly, none of them have any fucking balls whatsoever, apart from Perez.
Country.
What's that?
Is he even allowed in the country?
I thought it got sorted.
Well, they tried to get an Israeli passport. I don't think that got resolved.
All right.
But even then, like, Bruce Buck was at the game against Brighton. And he did, and, you know, if there were fans there, they were absolutely would have roasted him.
Yeah.
And then they had Petr Cech.
Sending out fucking Petr Cech, yeah, as a scapegoat. You know, like, and you saw, you know, people were abusing Petr Cech, you know, one of the legends of the game. You know, you can't help but respect what Petr Cech's been through during his career. Like, could you imagine if that was just some fucking, like, suit from upstairs? Like,
yeah.
Like, they're just such cow. And same with Glazers throwing Solskjaer under the bus in post-match interviews and stuff. You know, like, you know, Henry, pushing Klopp under the bus. Like, they're putting impossible situations. Like, and honestly, just respect to all the, you know, everyone who did speak out. I mean, I think Klopp, whilst I don't quite understand why he was having a go at Gary Neville, I do sort of respect him for, you know, publicly standing up and not allowing it. And you hear reports about the Liverpool and the Man United squads essentially rebelling against the Super League.
I didn't like the hailing of Harry Maguire as a hero when he was a fucking proper cunt in Greece. Like,
well, because he was demanding to see Ed Woodward and stuff like that.
Oh, well, I read reports that him and Luke Shaw actually told Ed Woodward what the team thought of him.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think he should be hailed as a hero when the guy's an actual cunt.
Well, I mean, again, you don't know what happened. Like, I find it very hard to believe that he said, I am the boss of Manchester United.
It's not like they would have known any different, would it?
Well, Well, the thing is, first off, that sounds like a sense, because it doesn't make any sense, because he isn't. So that sounds somewhat like someone who doesn't speak very good English has said that, to be quite honest with you.
Well, maybe it was lost in translation, like maybe I am the captain of Man United, sort of.
But I mean, you know, I think there's definitely something dodgy going on there. We do not know the full tale.
Okay.
But again, respect to him for standing up to Woodward. I mean, we'll get on to Jose Mourinho in a little bit. There's been all sorts coming out since the Monday that he ended up being sacked. We'll get on to him in a little bit. But just before we do, we've got one more clip from Mags at DJ Kirkby. I would say friend of the show, but he's had some very derogatory things to say about this show, you know, and especially Harry as well. I mean, I won't repeat what he's been saying about Harry. It's absolutely disgusting. Oh, he's been saying some right horrible stuff about you as Mags.
To be fair, it's probably justified.
I mean, I won't repeat what he said because we'll end up getting banned off of Spotify, but, you know, honestly, it's absolutely disgusting.
Start with C and end with T.
Oh, so many of them were dropped, honestly.
You called me a cat? What the hell?
I mean, we've got one more clip sent in from Mags. He's giving his thoughts on the Super League. Here it is.
Hello, this is Magsy from Radio Techers, and Chris has asked me for my thoughts and opinions on the recent European Super League debacle. He actually asked me to record this yesterday, and I kind of held off mainly because I was actually quite busy, but I'm actually glad that happened, because we got to a situation where we got some finality from the whole issue. So basically, from my point of view, what happened is that a group of 12 of the elite level clubs in terms of revenue decided to break away from the ECA, the European Club Association, to form a league of their own, where they would not be eligible for relegation, where they would be able to secure their own sponsorship and TV deals. And I've been a football fan for all my life, 40 years essentially, and make no bones about this, this was the biggest attack on the fabric of football in my life. I saw a lot of comparisons with the Sky Premier League deal of 1992, and to be honest, I think whilst there are similarities, there's enough differences that makes those kind of comparisons a little bit short-sighted. When we go back to 1992, the whole issue was around the same kind of topic. It was all about generating money, but there was never an attack on the competition of football. Essentially, the Premier League created a new level in the pyramid system that we have, where a team can make it to the top division, and if all the cards fall right, and with a little bit of luck and some skill and just any club can become the champions. This European Super League, it didn't have that situation, because the 12 founding clubs were not eligible to be relegated, so their place in this league was guaranteed, which it goes against everything that football stands for. The fact is, in the Premier League, in La Liga, in Liga 1, Serie A, any club with a bad run of form and the right results can get relegated. We've seen it with some huge teams. I mean, Man City was relegated a couple of times in the 80s and even into the 90s. We've seen teams like West Ham bounce up and down between divisions. Norwich, four times in a decade, coming up and down the divisions. This European Super League would have stopped that. And for all the posturing and pandering they did to the fans regarding it being for the sake of grassroots football and that European football needed to change, it's absolute hogwash. The fact is, European football is the most lucrative football in the whole of the world. The money that these clubs make for being in these competitions is astounding, absolutely astounding. Like I said earlier, this was 12 of the 14 biggest clubs in terms of revenue wanting to keep that revenue to themselves. And that, whether you are a fan of these clubs or you are you hate them with a passion, that revenue filters down to your club. Through Europe, through all the leagues, the money that these clubs generate filters down to safeguard the grassroots of football, to make sure we're getting the stars of the next generation and making sure that clubs don't go bust, and we still have that conveyor belt of new talent coming through. This was an affront to that. This was an attack on that. I am a Burn supporter, so I was I'm not a fan of one of these big six that came from England. But this European Super League would have affected my team, because it would devalue the TV deal that Burnley are currently enjoying with the Premier League. It would have devalued the chances of big paydays from these six teams coming to Turf Moor and selling out the stadium. It affects every team all the way through the league. There would have been little chance that a team could draw one of the big six in an FA Cup and have a tie that could potentially set that club up for a decade in terms of revenue. This was a very, very selfish act orchestrated by one man, Florentino Perez, the president of Real Madrid. As we know, a lot of clubs have been affected by COVID, my club included. I suppose your club, whoever's listening, has also been affected. But Real Madrid announced that they've lost around 500 million in revenue because of COVID, which meant they are currently sitting on 900 million of debt. Now, the problem that I have with this is, if you as a club have large amounts of debt, you should be changing your business plan and your transfer dealings and your way of generating income to service that debt. What you shouldn't be doing is stealing the revenue from all other clubs to cover yourself. And that's essentially what this was about. This was about taking European money, domestic money, and hoarding it to themselves to cover their own backs. This is why Barcelona was so quick to jump in, because Barcelona, again, another team in massive amounts of debt. Andrea Agnelli, the president of Juventus, was also the president of the ECA, a group that is designed to protect the 200 or so clubs that compete in Europe on a regular basis. And whilst he was working with UEFA to reorganise the Champions League and putting his input in and signing off on these changes, he was also duplicitously creating this league, and this hasn't happened overnight. This has took months and perhaps years of these teams working together behind the scenes to disrupt the fabric of football. Andrea Agnelli is a massive snake, and I'm so glad that he's decided to step down from the presidency of Juventus, because he's a stain on football. The same with Ed Woodward, another person who looked at the president of UEFA in the eye and said, "We agree with the changes," and in reality was working behind the scenes to screw over the rest of the footballing world. And these words from me are not an attack on these clubs. They're an attack on the owners of these clubs. I have no real love for Man United, for Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham, any of these teams. But I know that the majority of people who work for these clubs had no idea what was going on. This was a group of six owners wanting to keep the money for themselves. Because of fan power, because of player backlash, and I've really got to single out Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, Stan Collymore, Jordan Henderson, James Milner, and Jurgen Klopp for and even guys like Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes for having the bravery to highlight this on social media, highlight this in interviews, because these guys were thrown in at the deep end. The faceless owners didn't have the balls to explain to us fans what they had done and why the decisions had been taken. They left it to these people to come out and face the music on their behalf. And fair play to all those who said, "This isn't right, this isn't fair, we're not happy about it." The guys at Leeds with the shirts, fair play, much respect to them. Patrick Bamford coming out and saying that he dislikes this. Petr Cech facing a mob at Chelsea because Roman Abramovich was hiding behind the office curtains, sending out Petr Cech to quell this mob. I mean, this is the guy who you can't hate. No matter what club you support, you have to have a lot of respect for Petr Cech, for what he achieved in the sport and what he went through whilst in the sport. And to send him out as the face of this, and to face that barrage of anger, because essentially that's what it was. People were angry. I've never seen in all my years a group of fans from totally opposite clubs with years and years of hate for each other and kind of rivalry. I've never seen them come together as one. And if there's one thing that these 6 and 12 owners have done, is they've united football, and that is a good thing. We've slowly realised can claw this power back from the club. The fact is that the Premier League has become the most lucrative league in the world. European football is the most lucrative style of football in the world. And these people have come into the clubs as businesses, not through love of the club, not through passion for the area, not through the community. And there's a saying been going around on football social media that football was created by the poor and stolen by the rich. And it's so true. It really is true. And we've all essentially been complicit in that, because we've wanted the best players for our club, we've wanted the big names, we've wanted the success and the trophies, and we've essentially turned a bit of a blind eye to these people coming in and funding that, without really kind of understanding their end goal from this. We saw backlash with the Glazers come in at Manchester United, and I think that was a turning point for a lot of football fans to understand that maybe these new owners are not the saviours that we think that they are. Fortunately for us and for football in general, the British clubs, the English clubs were the first to see the error of their ways, whether that's through fan backlash, whether that's through player and managerial staff showing their disgust and their dismay with their owners. Maybe it's through the fact that sponsors were getting involved and were not happy. Who knows? But the English clubs led the charge in destroying this idea from within. That's not to say that these owners are free of blame. They absolutely would have carried this out had they been able to ride the storm of the backlash, had they been able to ignore the threats of expulsion, the fan backlash. But they didn't. I still believe that these teams should be punished in some way, whether that's through fans, whether that's through expulsion from European competition, whether that's through dock points or expunging of records, who knows. But one thing I will not back is those being expelled from the league, because as much as we hated this situation, the Premier League needs these clubs. These like it or not, are the draw. These are the teams that pull in the foreign domestic viewing numbers. These are the teams that the big TV deals are surrounded against. Without the likes of Man United, Arsenal, City, Tottenham, Chelsea, all in this league, the value of the TV deals goes down, and that affects the other 14 clubs. So I'm not a proponent of excluding them from the Premier League, but I do believe the owners need some sort of sanction. I also believe that this has been a big warning to maybe we need to change the way that clubs are owned. I think there needs to be sweeping reforms in the fit and proper ownership system. I think there need to be more links to the clubs being owned by their communities and by the fans that built these clubs from the ground. I'm a fan of the German style of 50+1. Whilst it may not fit perfectly in with the ethos of the Premier League, I think we can certainly take segments of their system and fit it to where one single person or one single entity doesn't have complete and unilateral power of a club, because this has been a shock to the system, the fact that six clubs had that much power over the Premier League and over European football that they felt that they could break away and hoard the majority of the TV money for themselves, because they were looking to secure huge deals in China, huge deals in East Asia, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi. They were looking to secure these massive TV deals for themselves. It's as simple and clear as that. Luckily, we've been able to fend it off now. But if we don't do something as a community, as a footballing world, this will rear its ugly head again. These clubs will feel strengthened by this. They'll just take the more necessary steps to make sure that everything is in place legally, that the owners can face off the barrage of backlash and carry on with this clear impunity. Football needs to change, and I hope that this is the catalyst for it. Anyway, you've listened to an old man yelling at the clouds. Again, I want to thank Chris for the opportunity to say this. And yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, it's at DJ Kirby. Like I said, I'm on a podcast called Radio Techers with my good friend and American Tanner. So yeah, come and check us out. That's at Radio Techers, and we're on. We generally do watch-alongs on YouTube every weekend of a Premier League or an important game. So yeah, come and check us out. Thank you very much.
Right, so you know, that's credit to everyone who managed to sit through that. I mean, I know it's hard listening to 18 seconds of Mags, never mind 18 minutes. You know, thank you for sending that in, Mags. I would say everyone should go listen to Radio Techers on Shooting Sportish Network, and they should follow them on Twitter at Radio Techers. But no, they shouldn't. But yeah, I mean, he raised a lot of good points in there, did Mags. But the first thing I really want to talk about, can we talk about Florentino Perez's comments?
Yeah.
Because they were so funny.
Yeah, it's the ramblings of a madman, yeah.
Honestly, like, what... this is funny. Like, it's as if he's based his a lot of his comments and his research on like TikTok and shit like that. Like,
no, he's based off like sites like The Onion or some shit.
Yeah,
just like fake news sites. Like, yeah. they're meant to be satire. He's the type of guy to read kayfabe news and think it's real.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost convinced that he was just trying to wind people up with some of his comments. Because they were so, like, oh, 16 to 24-year-olds aren't interested in football, so we need to make the game shorter. Like, and how the fuck did you come up with that?
There? What the fuck does that even mean?
Like, well, no, the thing is, I want him to say that, because that's even more embarrassing, saying that 40 Chelsea fans brought down the Super League. Like, no, but, oh, yeah, 16 to 24-year-olds aren't interested in football, because if you go into any school in the country, no one's talking about football.
No.
No one. Not one person. Honestly, it's so dumb.
I think the cherry on the ice on the cake is we were trying to save football.
Yeah.
And the fans actually saved football from them. They would have killed it.
Yeah. I mean, like, saying that's something that Mags brought up as well. Saying, oh, the reason it's happening is because... you know, we lost so much revenue because of COVID. No, you're not losing revenue because of COVID. You're losing because you're spending £100 million on fucking Luka Jovic and then loaning him out. That's why you're losing money. Like, Barcelona are losing money because they're spending fucking £100 million on Griezmann and Dembele. Like, don't talk about fucking losing money because of COVID. Maybe don't spend so much money on shit players then. Yeah, acting as if fucking, you know, the small clubs haven't been impacted far more by COVID.
Yeah, and they've probably had to sell best players to keep, you know, sort of working, you know?
Exactly.
I think calls for Perez to be sacked need to be honoured.
Well, I think they are. I think Real Madrid fans are starting to pile on the pressure.
But
from what I've seen, anyway.
And I think there needs to be a whole... I don't know if there's, like... Is there a legal route you can go to, you know, actually get him reprimanded for... It's essentially corruption.
Yeah. Well, I think because he's the president, isn't he? He's not the owner. So I think they could get rid of him, conceivably.
They're going to have to do an impeachment trial.
Right, because they go well, don't they?
Then it goes to an election of, you know, two, three people. You know, are they even going to be... Are they going to be along the same sort of...
Exactly. I mean, you know, you've seen Laporta, who was just elected Barcelona president, like, what, a month ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
And he's come out and backed the Super League. So, like... You know,
yeah.
It's just all of them. All you can get all the corrupt billionaires you want, and they're all going to back it because it's a way for them to get more money. And I think that's, you know, probably the most important thing that we need to learn from this whole experience. Because fans need to keep pushing for more reforms. Like, because if it's not going to happen now, it's never going to happen. There's so much momentum behind, you know, the idea of taking football back for the fans now. And it needs to be followed up on. You know, we need to keep pushing for these reforms. Because if it doesn't happen now, in a year's time, they're just going to keep stripping more stuff back. And eventually we'll go back to the Super League. And then the whole cycle will continue.
Well, I do believe there's blood on the hands of the respective FAs, UEFA and FIFA. They should have had these laws and reforms in place beforehand to even prevent such a thing happening.
Yeah.
The league has a rule that would have seen the Premier clubs, expploded from the respective competition, but I don't think they would have cared. They had that in mind anyway.
Yeah.
That was the breakaway was.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there needs to be serious repercussions to stop, you know, to discourage future attempts. Because it's like, you know, say Boris Johnson walks into Parliament and declares himself president for life. Like, and then it fails, you know, he doesn't end up becoming president for life. You wouldn't put him back into the position of prime minister. You'd fucking throw him in jail. So why is this any different? It was a failed coup.
Yeah, it was a coup d'etat, yeah.
Oh, it was a coup d'etat.
Shut up. Right?
I'm not French, you know, I'm big on European football.
Shut up, right?
I can list the entire squad of Dijon.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, when you said president for life, I thought of Putin, and then I thought of him poisoning his other candidates. So is Perez going to do that? Just poison, like, the next guy to take his job.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to be quick because I think he's about to have a fucking stroke and listen to some of those comments.
He's
like...
already had one. Fuck.
Has it?
Shit that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, honestly. Like, I think he was having a stroke during that fucking interview. Like, honestly. Like, he's a 74-year-old man. Like, and I know 90-year-olds who are less senile than that. Like, he's just so... thick. Like, honestly, I don't know what.
I don't know how these people get money. Well, it's obviously profiting off slave labour, but how the hell do they even, like, conjure thoughts together? It's just a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was no one realised before. Surely Perez has said something stupid before this.
Oh, well, yeah, the whole proposition of it before, yeah.
I mean, even before talks of, like, the Super League, if he's saying, oh, games need to be made shorter, surely you'd have thought he just said something beforehand what would have made people think, hang on, is he all right? Like...
Yeah.
Honestly, like... Aye. Well, yeah, in terms of punishments, I think, you know, the ideal... thing which would happen, which could happen, but it won't happen because UEFA seems to be welcoming the big clubs back with open arms, you know, oh, you know, don't do it again, lads, you know, that sort of thing, that bollocks. The ideal thing ban them all from European competitions for the next 4 years or something like that. Right.
But
ban them from Champions League, ban them from Europa League, and then they won't fucking try that again.
Do that.
You what?
It just hurts the other teams if you do that.
Why?
Why? Because if you lose 12 of the biggest clubs that would have been in the competition, that's going to hurt revenue and TV money.
Well, no, because the contracts have already been signed.
I guess, but I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah.
What that does is it fucking punishes them. You need to get the men upstairs, you need them to fuck off as well. You know?
Agreed.
Like I said earlier on, I think the 50+1 rule is a good place to start. I think there are problems with it, as we've seen in German football. I think after the initial sort of like honeymoon period, you know, when you do end up, it obviously it would avoid, you know, a Super League from ever taking place. But I think that, you know, when you get down to, you know, the smaller scale stuff like transfer business, negotiating sponsorships, stuff like that, that's when it starts to show its flaws, the 50+1 system, because you end up getting divides. But, you know, it's a better system for fans than what we have now. So, you know, like, I think that's definitely a good place to start.
I don't see how it would hurt transfers. Like, wouldn't fans have more of a say on who they want? Or would there be a divide in that?
That's what I'm saying, is there's a divide. You get people saying, oh, yeah, we need to spend a load of money and get him in. Or, oh, no, we can't afford that. We've got to just stick with the squad we have. Or, oh, no, don't get him each. Get him instead. What's that?
That's why you nominate a president.
Hmm.
I mean, I think what the Bayern, Leipzig and the Dortmund presence all said, I think that sort of represented German football in a good light, that, you know, football is ultimately at the core.
Which is why no non-Red Bull employees are allowed to be on the committee at RB Leipzig.
They have someone who's ahead of their scouting network. It used to be Ralf Rangnick, but he stepped down.
Mm.
And he would oversee, essentially, recruitment for the likes of Salzburg, Leipzig, Brasileira, New York Red Bulls.
No, I'm on about the, like, the actual, like, board, like, committee.
Oh, I see.
They're all Red Bull employees.
Yeah, well,
none of them are actually RB Leipzig fans.
Well, yeah, and also RB in Leipzig does not mean Red Bull. Or at least it doesn't mean Red Bull in English.
Not officially.
No.
Because you can't have sponsorship. You can't have sponsorships in the names. So, but I think it's pretty obvious what it means, considering the links they have to Red Bull Salzburg and New York Red Bulls, considering the fact that their logo is pretty much the Red Bull logo, considering it's the initials for Red Bull, like, it's pretty obvious.
Remember when Zenit was going to become Zenit Burger King?
When they were going to become what?
Zenit Burger King.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, what? Yeah, Burger King was looking for, a few years ago, Burger King were looking for sponsorship, and they were looking into Zenit, and they were going to call it Zenit BK. Zenit SP St. Petersburg.
Oh, that would have been great. I mean, I know that, is it Stevenage who they sponsor the shirts? Yeah.
But you're not allowed to have company names in English football. So.
I like how they went from Zenit to Stevenage as well. Well, I wonder who made the decision. Right, well, we can't go for Zenit. Who should we go for? Well, there's this club called Stevenage in the fourth division of English football.
Yeah, it's quite a drastic jump. In regards to what should happen, I don't think anything's going to happen because of what the La Liga president said last night at Tebas.
Why, what was said there?
He said that the three clubs, you know, Atleti, Barca, Real, they've already been sanctioned by their own fans. They've hurt their reputation.
Oh, piss off. Piss off. That is a load of bollocks, that.
Can't remember what else he said. I know I wrote it down in a tweet.
Thing is, blind fucking loyalty will always be entrenched in some fans. Like, you know, if you're a fan of, say, Real Madrid, and you've been going to Real Madrid games for 30 years, it's a lot to say, you know, right, I'm going to stop going to Real Madrid games that I've been going to all my life because of principles. Like, it's a lot to ask, is that? So, and fans, a lot of fans aren't going to do that. I mean, I don't know if you saw the image of the Spurs protest, where there were literally people with bags from the club shop. During the protest, they bought stuff from the fucking club shop.
Oh my.
It just shows that there is absolute blind loyalty from some fans, and you're never going to take that away. So saying that, oh, they've damaged their own reputation, and that's enough punishment, fuck off.
So I've got a transcript of what's been said. Rather than sanctions, we are looking for protective measures. So essentially, he's going to try and prevent it happening again. Man United owner is part of the NFL and has a different concept of sport. They have closed competitions and get more money. So I assume he's defending the Glazers because that's how they thought football was run.
Mm. Which is true. That's not wrong. That is how they thought that they could do it. Is like the NFL. Because you know what the next step is? You know, as soon as this is a Super League goes ahead, the next step would be play games in America, play games in Qatar,
play games in UAE. And that's why non-European fans were behind it. Because I bet, like, oh, instead of us seeing a friendly every summer, like, 5 years, we might be able to see them, you know, 3 times a year. I bet they were, like, right behind that.
Yeah.
Tebas was basically saying that the club shouldn't be sanctioned because it wasn't an actual physical competition. The breakaway was only proposed. There was no actual breakaway.
Well,
essentially, Perez is completely delirious in, you know, this world of massive TV deals and sponsors.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the six English clubs actually pulled out of the FA. So I don't know if that's the same in Spain. But if that happened, then surely it is a breakaway. No matter whether they joined a new league or not, they broke away from the old Spanish FA.
I did not know that the English clubs had done that.
Yeah.
You know, I said that of all the 12 clubs involved, that Real Madrid should be punished the heaviest.
Yeah, because Perez is the fucking mind behind it.
Yeah.
Him and the Americans.
But Tebas is not going to do it like that. And then I think the Serie A president basically echoed those sentiments that, you know, the three Italian clubs are not going to get hit.
Yeah.
So, with that...
So it's going to happen again next year, this time next year. Going to happen.
Well, no, because Tebas has said he's going to put in preventative measures.
Yeah, but what's that going to do? Like,
I'd imagine that if they try to do that, they will face consequences. I mean, this is sort of like a slap on the wrist, I guess.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they could try to do it again, and then the same cycle's going to repeat. Eventually, it'll end with, you know, the league's caving, saying, oh, we'll pay you this much money to come back, you know.
Well, imagine if the preventative measures come in, that there will be severe consequences if they try it again, like, as to the point where they will, you know, be, you know, stripped of any accolades they made in those respective countries.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, they can say that all they want, but if Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico Madrid pull out of the league again, they're gonna be able to negotiate. Oh, we'll come back, but only if you don't punish us. They'll be able to do that. They'll be able to dictate that.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if you don't punish them this time. They need to get punished the first time they tried it, so they know not to fucking do it again.
Agreed. And I think those preventative measures need to be of harsher consequences than the one they're going to do. I don't believe that any of the respective leagues are going to do any punishment. It's down to UEFA and FIFA to do something.
Well, UEFA's not going to do anything. I don't think FIFA gives a fuck, to be honest with you.
Seferin was calling these people snakes and, you know, basically being very to the point and blunt with what he thought of these people.
Yeah, well, then afterwards he's saying, oh, I'm so glad that the clubs finally came to their senses.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And I mean, everyone knows about the rivalry between FIFA and UEFA. So, well, you know, FIFA's going to, you know, leave them to it, essentially. So
I found Infantino's, what he said, I found it very, like, neutral.
Mm.
You know, I'd be very disappointed. Well, that's not... I'd be very disappointed if they broke away. Well, do something about them. You know.
Exactly, yeah. Like, because it's not just a European thing. There's been talks about an African Super League for ages.
As in
clubs from all across Africa breaking away from their own leagues to the Super African League.
They already have that. The African Club Nations. And they have CAF, Champions League.
Oh, I thought the African Cup of Nations, that's international, isn't it?
Yeah, but they also have no, actually, I got that wrong. African Club Nations is where the countries can only pick players from their own league. They do have their own Champions League, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they're on about getting, like, an actual, like, African Super League with, like, the top club from Algeria and the top club from, like, Nigeria or something like that, you know.
Well, I'd imagine Egypt would have the most spots. They tend to win the Champions League. Like, I know Al-Ali, I think they're called.
Yeah, and Al-Hilal, I think that's one. They're all Al-Sun.
Saudi Arabia, that one.
Oh, right.
Oh, what's it called? It's like...
Al-Ali?
I think they're Egyptian.
Hmm.
Fuck, they're Saudi.
Ah, right.
There is a big Al... Oh, they do play in it. What?
What's that?
There is an Al Ahly in I knew there was an. There's an Al Ahly in Egypt and an Al Ahly in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, how's that work?
Just the two letters at the end of.
Yeah, could you imagine if in like the Spanish league there's this club called Man United, right?
But there's loads of teams called like. There's like Arsenal, Kiev, Dynamo, Kiev. There's loads of Kievs. There's like Dynamo, Kiev.
Yeah, but that you've got Manchester United and Manchester City. Like, you know, yeah. That's just because there's more than one club in a city. That's not two completely different.
Club I was thinking of Zamalek.
Ah.
Look, their stadiums are huge. 75,000 they fit.
Oh, yeah, they are. Like... Well, African football's really big. Like...
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, the goal is to get to Europe, basically, because that's where the money is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been calls for ages to invest in African football. You know, I think... Yaya Toure, I think for a while, he was outspoken about saying, you know, we need to invest in African football so we can compete with Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's... I guess the biggest clubs over there that are recognised here are Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates.
Mm, yeah. Because, I mean, in terms of the players, the quality is there. You get some quality players from Africa, but it's all about, you know, keeping them in Africa if you want to be able to, you know, be on the same level as European football.
My dad was saying that they used to put Kaiser Chiefs versus Orlando Pirates on Eurosport here.
Really?
Yeah. So I'd imagine they get some money from that. But would people actually watch African football here?
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, people...
I mean, don't... I watch the Cup of Nations, but that's because you get Mohamed Salah and...
That's because you're a massive football nerd, that's why.
Yeah, but you get to see Mane versus Salah versus, you know, all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it's all about what channel you put it on. Like, I mean, compare...
It used to be on ITV4, I know that one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like if you compare, like, the Bundesliga current viewing figures to, like, Serie A's viewers when they were on, like, free TV and stuff. Like, you know, it's night and day.
Oh, yeah, Serie A in the 90s was huge here.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, because it was because of the coverage.
But I know Bundesliga gets a highlight show on ITV4.
Mm.
I don't assume that would drive figures up, though. Because, like, if you want to watch Der Klassiker, you got to watch it on BT. They don't count towards any actual figures.
No. But yeah, just to sum it up, really. Because we strayed off course from the Super League discussions a bit. They need to punish him, essentially. I think a European ban would be ideal. I think points deductions, transfer bans, they're all good ideas. But the main thing is we need to get them fuckers out of football and introduce 50 plus one.
Agreed. I mean, that would definitely get fans at more games, cheaper, you know, tickets and all that.
Exactly, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, if you want to go to, you know, sit in the Arsenal, you want to go to an Arsenal home game, like, tickets will cost you £100. Like, I think if you're, you know, if you're a dad, you've got two kids, like, that's a lot of fucking money to go. You know, you got to consider, like, how you're going to get there. You got to consider what you're going to get whilst you're there. You got to consider, you know, there's all these other stuff, not just the tickets. So it's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, well, I know growing up, my dad wouldn't have been able to afford three Saints season tickets.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. And, like, you know, I can only speak for myself here, but if I wasn't able to go to the football as a kid, I wouldn't be a football fan. Or I wouldn't be a football fan in the same way, at least. You know, like, I'd just... Yeah, I wouldn't care, because I wouldn't care about watching it on telly. It's the fact that you're there. That's what gets people hooked into football. And I think that, you know, people are just being priced out constantly.
Do you think that's what drives people to bigger teams? Because they can't see their local team anyway. So when it comes to TV, I want to watch the best side or the side I like.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a case of people can't see the local team. I mean, if I went to Silston, tickets are like £2.
The local side here is Saints. When my dad was growing up,
yeah, your local football league team.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I guess that could be part of it. Again, I think it could be, you know, a case of just exposure, really.
Yeah.
Like, if you, you know, if you're learning about football, you're starting out with football, there's more Man United games on telly than there is Burnley games or, like, Brentford games or, like, Bradford City games, like, or Cheltenham games, you know, like, there's there's more coverage of the Big Six than any other club.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my exposure was through my dad because he was a Chelsea fan.
Mm.
I assume that's the case for most people.
Yeah, I think that is the case for most people, is they'll either support their local team or their parents' team. Well, I think that's how most football fans start out as football fans. Because you get cases, and that's the thing, is, you know, with that American sports will never quite understand, is the fact that, you know, you can have five generations of, like, fans of the same team. Like, but yeah, it's like, you know, I think that is most of the time, but, like, if you're coming into it from a neutral perspective, like, say your parents aren't interested in football, and you're living in an area where, like, there's not too many, like, big teams or whatever, you're probably going to be drawn to, like, Liverpool or Man United or Chelsea, because there's just more people talking about them. And because there's more people talking about them, they get more coverage and the cycle, you know, repeats.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the agenda for today was meant to be talk about the other games, wasn't it? But Super League obviously dominated the headlines.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what, you know. Well, I think it's important that we talk about the Super League.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it really does show what, it shows that fans need to take back their game, because it's created by the poor, it was for the poor, and it's trying to get stolen by the rich. Like, I know that's something that's been sort of said to death over the past few days, but it's true. Like, and these billionaires will keep inching, they'll keep taking more and more and more until it gets to the point where we can't take anything back.
I've seen people say, and I don't know whether I necessarily agree with it, that the poor let it go to the rich.
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. Like, they, the poor let it go to the rich. Like,
well, I
guess technically that's right, but, like, you know. It's not like people are fucking thrilled to have a Super League, is it?
No. I think you can have rich owners. I think that should be allowed. It's just the power dynamic should be in favour of the fans.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong if a rich owner wants to come to a club, pump their money into the club, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, and there's nothing wrong with an owner coming into a club and running it like a business. I mean, obviously morally it's wrong, but I think physically there's nothing too wrong with that.
Well,
it's when the fans have no say in the matter, that's when it's wrong.
You say that Red Bull ran Leipzig like a business, but ultimately they expanded as a club. They took them from the fourth division of German football and took them to the Champions League. I think that, and, you know, even then they rejected the Super League. I think they can be good owners. It's just a lot of billionaires' companies are douchebags.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I'm not sure how well it came across. It's just a case of, there's no wrong with having billionaire owners,
mm-hmm.
but they shouldn't be the ones in charge of the club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the Ralph
Ragnick. What's
that? Well, basically, they appointed Ralph Ragnick. They said, we have the money, but you've got the brains. You run things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's no wrong with owners coming in and pumping money into it. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think, you know, like, it should be a fan-run game. Like, because that's what makes us different from American football, from basketball, from, like, baseball. Like, that's what makes our sport different. It's because it's a working-class sport, and it always has been a working-class sport. Like, and it needs to stay like that. Because, you know, we could very easily be talking about, you know, this time next season, we could have easily been talking about Manchester United versus Barcelona being played in Abu Dhabi.
I certainly wouldn't watch that. Because, something we haven't even explored yet was it was essentially just exhibition matches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and most legacy fans, as Perez likes to call us, most legacy fans wouldn't give an absolute toss about that. They wouldn't give a fuck about the Super League.
I want to see Mbappe beat someone because he wants to win, not because just to be flashy.
Exactly. And the thing is, after say 10 years at the most, the novelty had worn off.
Because
then Liverpool versus Real Madrid wouldn't be a big game. So then what? You're going to break away and create a super duper league? Like, and only have 14 teams in it.
10 years, the next superpower would come along. Like, we've seen the rise of Leicester.
Exactly.
We've seen the rise of West Ham.
Yeah. Look at Man City this time 15 years ago. It was shit.
Liverpool 15 years ago.
Yeah. You know, Aston Villa. Look at Aston Villa. You know, they're one of the biggest clubs in England. But because they've been shit for the past 15 years, they're not big enough to be in the Super League.
Yeah.
You know, Nottingham Forest have 2 European Cups.
Fulham have been in more Europa League finals than Arsenal.
Yeah.
Not Champions League finals, because
Forest have more Champions Leagues than Arsenal and Spurs combined. And yet they weren't big enough.
And us.
And Chelsea, yeah.
We've got one.
Yeah.
Hopefully two after the season, unless they get rid of us.
Whatever.
That would be a shame, because, like, Abramovich fucking... That fucks over the fans, that would, you know...
Oh, this fucking argument again. I cannot be asked.
No, I do agree with it, but he's fucked over the fans. He has fucked over the fans. I would reluctantly agree with the sanctions, but it would cause more distrust in the fans, more loss of a reputation, if it meant points deductions and what have you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm just sick of the people saying, oh, you can't do points deductions because that punishes the players, it punishes the fans.
But where was
you were thinking about that for fucking Bolton and Wigan and Sheffield Wednesday and Coventry and Leeds and Port Vale and Luton. Were you thinking about that then? No, you fucking weren't. It's all because, the big boys might get fucking, you know, they might not get Champions League this season if you give them a points deduction. Fuck off.
What? Here's another question. If a points deduction is agreed, how many points and when would you implement it? Would it be this season or the start of next season?
I'd implement it start of next season, personally, rather than this season. And I think, you know,
how many?
Somewhere between 15 and 20, that sounds fair.
Okay.
Well, what about you? What would you say?
Well, I don't think that would affect Man City too much. I mean, I think they'd get 90 points. They'd get Champions League still.
Well, if you deducted 15 points from City, they'd still be top of the league. So, this season anyway.
Yeah.
I think the ideal punishment would have been transfer ban for 2 seasons, European ban for 2 seasons, start on minus 15 points next season, and the owners are forced to sell. Uh-huh. That would have been the ideal punishment.
What about the 3 clubs that are currently in this year's Champions League competition?
I guess you have to, really. I mean, yeah.
Well,
I mean, you could let it play out.
By the lucky loser rule. Which is basically when a team's been disqualified, the team that basically lost in the last round, they get to progress. Happened at, I can't remember who it was, but Man United, I think they fielded an ineligible player. So they got chucked out of the FA Cup, and whoever they beat took their spot. This was years ago, though.
It's just, it's, but like you say, I can't see anything happening to them, really. I think the FA is more bothered about, you know, not wanting them to break away again, that they'd rather placate them than punish them and discourage it.
Yeah, seeing as a, not rocking the boat, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be given more revenue, they'll be given more TV money. What should be happening is they should bring in, you know, equal broadcasting rights as well, because that would fucking hurt them, hit them where it hurts.
Well, you need to talk to Sky and BT about that.
Well, if Sky and BT are, you know, really adamantly against the Super League, as they claim to be, I'm sure they'd agree to that happily, you know.
Yeah, cut prices as well.
Exactly, don't charge 15 quid for Burnley versus West Brom.
Oh, that pay-per-view shit during the pandemic was fucking...
And then they wonder why only 74 people bought Burnley versus West Brom.
Another thing we didn't talk about was basically banning the whoever's in charge, like the executives, from committee meetings, so making decisions on Premier League matters, and essentially leaving it down to the other 14. Again, you know, lessening the power play.
Well, I mean, you know, if you got, if you just got rid of them, then that would be, you know, from the clubs, then, you know, I don't think it's right that the new ones should be banned from that. But, you know, if you can't get rid of them, that is an option. Because they're all about bringing back fucking Project Big Picture now to placate.
Oh, my fucking God.
You know, so instead of, you know, banning the big six from the committee meetings, they're going to do the opposite. They're going to make them just the big six.
It's this egotistical self-proclamation as the big six.
Well, the thing is, I don't even blame them, because when everyone bends over backwards for you, like, you're going to take advantage of it, aren't you? When no one's being fucking harsh on you.
Yeah.
You know, the FA, UEFA, FIFA, the Liga, Serie A, the Premier League, they're all just letting these clubs absolutely bum them. Like, yeah, and then they wonder why they get taken advantage of all the time.
It's cowardice from the governing bodies, and I think they need to reform as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, let's get this absolutely clear. UEFA aren't the good guys in this. FIFA aren't the good guys. The FA isn't the good guys. They're just the lesser of two evils in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not trying to introduce 60-minute games. But they're still corrupt as all hell.
Well, that's already been proven with the Sepp Blatter shit.
Yeah.
And Michel Platini.
You know. Like, oh, yeah. Well, honestly, the World Cup is in Qatar because of, you know, all the football heritage that they have. Honestly, it's not the oil money.
The football heritage. Fuck me.
When they don't have any football infrastructure and they're having fucking slave labours building
Kuwait has more
ground up
football heritage than Qatar.
Yeah.
It was in the
town of Tifle has more fucking football heritage than Qatar.
82.
Yeah. It's just, honestly,
Saudi Arabia in a World Cup? Was that 2010?
No, they're in 2018. They were in Laston.
Oh, right. Even North Korea was in the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously, don't put the fucking football there, but...
Yeah. Well, they have, like, a massive fucking stadium in North Korea, don't they?
But probably, what is it, in Pyongyang?
Yeah, it's like 190,000 seater or something.
Is it even safe?
Probably not, but...
How many people died making that?
I've no idea, but I'm assuming lots.
Yeah. Should we wrap up?
I think that's all that I have to say on the Super League. I'm not sure if there's anything else you're wanting to add.
Ham roll.
Right. I think that is it from us. You can... Oh, I was about... Oh, bollocks. I hate outros. Fucking hell, I always slip
Thank
over on
work.
Where can we find you, Harry? What do you have to plug?
At Hazard Tweets 10.
You can follow me at Chris_BFC. And you can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod. Keep an eye out as well on at AntiFootballPod, because I will be tweeting out regularly now. I'll be letting you lot create our content. I'll be tweeting out questions. I want to hear from you lot if, you know, this clip format, it's been successful. You got responses. I want more responses. Respond. But yeah, that's it from us, and we'll speak to you a lot next time.